out there, and tonight we're going to find out the truth behind dysentery. Tonight on I Want to Believe, right here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. What's up, guys? My name is Shannon Young. Well, I'm doing it like we do on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It's supposed to be way more subdued on this show. We are riding the Oregon Trail here tonight. Along with me are my favorite cowpokes, Calvin Hebert.
Dysentery is not a thing anymore. We've discussed this.
Allie Hebert.
Hi.
And our Native American guide, Lindsay Wolf Gong.
Ha ha ha. You're so funny.
Hey, over 20 listeners can't be wrong.
True.
We're up to 20. One of the things I miss most about doing the shows is self-depreciating humor. Deprecating. I said depreciating.
It's humor that goes down in value.
At least you didn't say defecating.
He almost did.
You're both right. It could be any of those things. But no laughs or entertainment tonight on I Want to Believe. It's a very serious show.
We have house elves.
We have what?
House elves.
We do have house elves. That's coming up here in a second. You don't want to miss that. If you're a Harry Potter fan, and I know you are, you're going to want to hear the story about Dobby. But first, I want to give you guys a little hint of what we've been up to lately. So myself, Allie,
yes,
and Lindsay,
wow,
we've been making various trips to the old Lorimer Cemetery here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It's supposed to be one of the most haunted places in Cape Girardeau and maybe one of the most haunted places in Missouri. We visited it probably, what, 3-4 times at this point?
Yes.
I went once.
You did go once. But Allie and I have been there 3 times at least.
Yes.
And collected a bunch of pictures, a bunch of video evidence and stuff. And in that, nothing.
Magical.
Yes.
And that's the problem with ghost hunting is like, God, anytime I see, you know, if I'm watching TV, I'm watching one of the 50 ghost shows that are on the Travel Channel. Which, by the way, if you missed our interview with Scott Walter, go back. It was a special episode that I did with Tanner. He's from the Travel Channel, hosts America on Earth. Great guy. Fascinating conversation. But anytime I watch shows like that and they talk to the people and they're like, oh, you're going to see full body apparitions. You're going to see literally the gates of hell open up at 12 o'clock at night and demons pour out of it. And you're going to see that tonight. And then they go there and they get, you know, an EVP that sounds like, and then they translate it into something like, I miss my mother or something like that, you know. Then we go to a place like the Lorimer Cemetery, and I didn't know what to expect because I don't generally go to cemeteries for ghost stuff because I don't necessarily believe that cemeteries house spirits. It's just where the body is laid. That, you know, the spirit can still be attached to anything. But there are enough reports about ghostly goings-ons at the old Lorimer Cemetery that we thought we'd check it out. And yeah, didn't come up with anything. I would like to explore it more, maybe at nighttime. There's supposedly a ghost that will tap on your shoulder, but apparently it's only at night. So I was wrong about that. There was one part where I thought I saw a shadow move in front of me. Like, as I turned around, I saw some black mass move to the left out of sight. But it could have been a trick my eyes were playing on me. So I didn't get it on tape. And if it's not on tape, it didn't happen. So I can't say that was a thing. But
sure it didn't happen.
But I did think I saw that. And another time, it felt like something pulled my hair. But it was windy. There were bugs.
I thought you were going to say about Allie.
No, she was ahead of him because I was there that day.
Yeah, yeah. We were all kind of split up at that point. So there
I'm
were a
couple
things.
I was more interested in looking at the really, really old tombstones than investigating.
And the really cool part about it was even though we didn't come up with anything, like it was fascinating.
Find Allie's dead body.
We found Allie's tombstone, which was very neat. Alethea H.
Yep.
Not kidding. We found it. And it was just really cool. Old Lorimer Cemetery here in Cape. If you can visit it, it's a very, very cool place to go. Be respectful, of course. They have enough problems. Some of those tombstones were just broken to pieces.
There was a pile of tombstones.
Yeah. It's open to the public till 3 o'clock, I believe.
Did they look broken on like purpose or broken from just decay?
No, there was a couple years back, there were some punk kids that got in and do stuff because it used to not be locked up. My boss actually lives nearby, and him and his girlfriend used to take their dogs for walks up around that way. And they were there one of the days that after a whole bunch of them had been knocked down because they'd been upped it prior. And he said the two of them set as many of them back up as they could when they were going for the walk because he was angry.
We did that too. We were putting tombstones back when we could. But I would imagine it's a combination because some of them were newer tombstones that were broken, but some of them were old. I mean, there were some tombstones there from the 1800s. I think some maybe even before that. Wasn't there one from the 1700s?
I took some pictures. They're still on my phone.
There was one from the Civil War, wasn't there? Around.
Yes, because that was the one that I'm like, dude.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. If you get a chance, go check it out. Be respectful. That's one of the reasons it's really...
Revolutionary War. It was... the person died in 1845.
Yeah.
They were born 1758.
Yeah. Well, it's a good year. It's hard to investigate places like this because people are so shitty. Mm-hmm. And they go in and they... I mean, anytime... Again, if you watch the shows like Ghost Adventures and stuff like that, a lot of places they go to, you'll see graffiti on the wall... of these supposedly haunted places and the, just people tagging it and stuff like that. It's terrible. It's super disrespectful. And even when we were there, a group of kids came in and started like playing like it was a goddamn play park. And I wanted to say something to them. They're little kids, whatever. But then when they realized that there were dead people there, they freaked out and ran. That was pretty funny. That part I liked.
They didn't understand what a graveyard was.
I think they just went in because it was open. And then as they're looking around, they notice the tombstones. And I think that's when it dawned on them, oh, this is just a dead body library.
Dead body.
Uh-huh.
We would like to go back, though.
I thought that was a mausoleum.
They didn't have any mausoleums, though.
They had a tomb.
They had one, but it was closed. You couldn't go in it. Now, New Lorimer, if you remember a couple years ago on the Terrifying Tanner Thursday special we did, I think maybe first or second year, before you joined the show, we went to New Lorimer. Because we couldn't get into Old Lorimer. And they had a mausoleum that we went into. And that's where we left the tape recorder. And that's where we got that whistle that we couldn't explain what it was. So, yeah. Again, we're going to go back at some point. I'm going to talk to the city of Cape or whoever I need to talk to. See if we can do an overnight investigation. I think that would be fun. Allie and I also visited the Glen House.
Yes.
Here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Where is that?
Allie, tell us about the Glen House.
It's a historic building in downtown Cape Girardeau. It is now kind of a museum.
Yeah. They give public tours.
Yes. Okay. We found out it was actually, the house was a wedding gift from the architect to his daughter.
On her wedding day or something like that? Or I may be remembering it wrong.
It was a wedding gift. I don't know if it was a wedding gift.
It doesn't matter the details of it.
Yeah. But it is, there are stories of it being haunted. It is a, historically preserved building.
It is.
In Cape. There are quite a few of them.
We went room by room. There was a lovely British man.
Yes.
And I forget his name. And I hate that because he was incredibly nice. He gave us the tour. He's also a teacher at SEMO, apparently.
He teaches
music.
He works, in the music department.
Which means Cody or Dalton tomorrow is going to mess with the group chat and say his name. And I'm going to mention it at some point in the future. Because he was just a gem. This dude knew so much history about that place. He walked us through all the rooms. He told us about it, explained everything in it. And at the end of the tour, it was a great tour, by the way. I highly recommend it.
I apparently won the day because there was a machine in the kitchen that apparently no one knew what it was, but I was able to guess it was a cherry pitter.
She knew it because she watched it on an episode of Queer Eye.
No!
She did. She guessed cherry pitter, and they seemed legitimately taken back because no one usually gets that right. But after the tour was over, before I could even ask him, because the only reason we went was because we had heard it was haunted. It is apparently one of the more well-known haunted places in Cape Girardeau. There was a child that died there. There are rumors that you can hear it running and stuff like that. So I thought, well, we're already at Lorimer. This is after we dropped Lindsay off back at home.
Yeah.
And we were already at Lorimer. So I'm like, you know what? We're down here. Let's just go to Glen House and see if we can if it's open. So we go and we take the tour. And before I even had a chance to ask him, hey, is this place haunted? He volunteered the information, said, now some people say this place is haunted. And I was like, I wasn't going to ask, but sure. It's like when we were at Limp Mansion.
Yeah.
And he was like, do you want to go upstairs? I wasn't going to ask. Like,
yes.
But yes, I absolutely do. So he said he had never seen anything there or felt anything, but there had been people he worked with that had. And there was apparently they used to do meetings there, but Allie.
Yeah. He says about half the people that work there will say it's haunted, half won't. But they used to have like the city of Cape meetings in the dining room
of the Glenn House.
They no longer do that. They do it in like the Chariot House that is behind the Glenn House, because all nine of them very vividly remember seeing a ghost.
They got spooked. So we talked to him again, this lovely British man who was just a treat.
Yes.
This guy. I can't express enough how much I enjoyed him. He said that they would probably be very open to an investigation. There have been investigations there before. So that's another place we're going to talk to about doing something. I'm going to aim for Christmas or at least the holiday season, because apparently that is when the ghost is at its strongest.
Is that?
That's what I read online. And okay. If it's on the internet,
I thought you were going to say because they decorate the house for Christmas and you just wanted to be there for that.
Yes, but also stuff like that is what we in the paranormal community like to call like trigger objects, where you introduce something to the spirit that could have meant something to them in life. So this Christmas decorations could be this spirit's trigger object where it becomes more known. Mm-hmm. It's like if you've ever heard of the Waverly Hills Sanatorium, sanitarium, whatever, where they put the ball on the ground and the ball, the kid will play with the ball. You know, there are trigger objects that can do that, and it's a very fascinating thing. So I would like to do that, and we'll see about doing that. So that is us doing stuff locally. Yes. And we're going to continue to do stuff locally because apparently there's a big haunted history. I'd like to go to Rose Theater at some point here in Cape Girardeau. There's Port Cape is apparently haunted. Calvin and Allie and I were just at Port Cape the other day, and it was pretty creepy the way they had nothing we ordered. Did I tell you the story, Lindsay?
Yes.
And also, you know, somebody undid your barbecue.
That was a ghost. That was a ghost. So I'm squeezing the barbecue sauce and it won't come out. So I squeezed it really hard and then it all came out at once. Drenched my pork.
Salt prank, but yeah, with barbecue sauce.
With barbecue sauce, and I smelled delicious afterwards. All right.
Your phone.
I cleaned it off today, so we're no longer delicious smelling. We got a new segment here on the show called Check It Out. That's the best I could come up with in 2 seconds. This is stuff that we can talk about, but it would be really hard to do it without visual evidence, so we want to direct you guys to the internet where you can find it for yourself, but it's a suggestion. Number one, the well-preserved decapitated head of a 30,000-year-old wolf unearthed in Siberia recently. The head is enormous, measuring 15.7 inches in length. A modern wolf's head measures only 9.1 to 11 inches in length. This thing is apparently closely related to dire wolves, which is a thing. And it's not just a monster in like every RPG ever made.
They're just...
Catch the Yanma.
It won't let me.
Dire anything is just a bigger version.
So a dire bear.
Dire literally means like terrifying or...
Well, it was terrifying looking.
So if you had a little person who was bigger than most little people, would he be a dire midget?
Are we all not just dire midgets?
I think I'm a dire midget. That's what I'm playing right now. You can check it out online. It's a really cool picture. This thing looks like it's 30,000 years old, but it looks like it was died last week. It still has the hair.
Amazing what ice and salt will do.
It is. It's very, very cool. So check that out. It's a little gross because it is a decapitated wolf head, but 30,000 years old. That's pretty cool. Also, you can check this out online. Look up the name Vivian Gomez or just look up Dobby caught on film. Because Vivian Gomez, a mother from state that I forgot to write down, caught an elf-like creature on her house security cam. And boy, we all watched it earlier. What do you think it is? Because let me set the scene. So you basically see a shadow and then this little thing walks out, very, very thin arms and legs, kind of small, does a little jig and then just walks away. And then the camera stops because it only has a 10-second feature on it, I guess. But the internet's going crazy. They're saying it's an alien. They're saying it's an elf. What?
I agree with the kid dancing with underwear on his head.
I don't think it was the kid dancing with underwear on his head, but I don't think it's supernatural. I think it was a child, personally.
Its proportions are a little weird.
They are, but it could just be a lanky, skinny child. Here's the important thing. It looks like the footage is genuine. Like
That's true.
This was not CG. This was not computer graphics.
It doesn't look like staged either.
Right. This looks legitimate. So whatever it was, it looks like it was really there, and she didn't really know about it. But the question is, what was it? Lindsay thinks it was some dumbass kid. Mm-hmm. Calvin, what do you think?
It's probably some actual human.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know if it was the person's kid or not. It could have been some other kid.
See, I think it was some other kid. I truly believe her when she said, I don't let my child out.
Yeah.
Because I think if it was just her kid, she wouldn't have went public with it. But I think it probably could have been a neighborhood kid. And I wouldn't, I maybe would have not believed that if it was not for the little jig that it does.
Yeah.
It like, a little like dance.
Yeah. Like that was really awkward and confusing.
It's like, I'm on your camera.
It looks like he's got underwear on his head or something, but it does look like he has floppy ears. He looks like an elf. Yeah. Allie, what do you think? Alfie.
I mean, the most logical, the easiest answer, which is most people say typically the right answer, is that it's a kid.
You're not buying it?
That kid probably needs to be on a different diet.
Yeah, it's like emaciated.
Yeah, like that.
I don't know. I was, still am super skinny, but.
It's just a really, really small meth head.
They could be. It's a meth head midget.
Was this video done in Chaffee? Every show, every month, I burn them. All right, so that is what we want you to go check out. Wolf Heads and Dobby caught on film. Now to the stories of the week. The first story we call, I see it like an anthology. Uh-huh. It's like Tales from the Crypt, and I'm the Crypt Keeper, who was voiced by...
I don't remember his name.
John Cassier.
Okay.
Who also did...
I Deadpool, know, I should know this.
In the old cartoons. You know, it's not important. In the game. It's not important. Let's just get to the story. This is from CNET. Oh, gosh. You know when you write down words that then you forget how to pronounce?
Uh-huh.
Let's do this, because there's some weird names in here, too. That's what's not
so bad. I try to write it phonetically?
Yeah, but then you get DD Megadoodoo. So maybe not a great idea. This is from CNET, and this is for all of you, because you're all artists.
Okay.
Aidan Meller is the director of his own gallery in Oxford, England, and the man behind a new robot-centered exhibition scheduled to open next week in the University City. He decided to create a robot that could bring art forth into the world while facilitating a conversation about the potential of AI. And so Ada, that's AI-DA, the art-producing robot was born, named after Victorian computing visionary Ada Lovelace. Ada has a humanoid neck and head, including a full head of long hair. The mechanics of her torso and limbs, meanwhile, are openly exposed, partially clothed, for you perverts out there, all the way down to her fingers, which are capable of grasping a drawing implement. Using cameras in her eyes, she can identify what's in front of her and commit it to paper by hand. Next week, for the first time, Ada will open her own exhibition at the Barn Gallery attached to Oxford University's St. John's College. The exhibition will feature framed pictures of Ada's own pencil drawings alongside paintings generated from her perception of objects and scenes she's observed in the world. So now, not only are the robots good for sex, not only do they control our tech, our weapons technology, now they're creating art. Are you offended as human beings that this robot, this filthy bucket of bolts, has its own art exhibit? What you want?
I mean, they've had computers make art before.
Not to this level. Not a fully realized humanoid, you know, AI system that not only is drawing stuff, but is now having their art put on display like they're some, you know, meat bag.
So here's the question, since you just brought up all the different things robots are good for now. At what point do we get to, like, custom order a modular robot that, you know, like, you can make it an artist and...
You can pick what you want. Yeah. It's getting to the point now that if you haven't armed yourself with pitchforks and guns... Maybe it's time to put the Bibles up, because God's not going to help us on this one.
No, we need EMPs.
It's time to arm ourselves. EMPs, that would work too. But the robots make them. That's the scary part.
You can make an EMP with a magnet.
You better get to work, MacGyver, because he's coming for your job.
It literally stands for electromagnetic pulse.
No, MacGyver was a TV show.
Okay.
seriously though, is this cool or is this weird? Like, are we going too far? Because isn't art, all right, I'm no artist. In fact, I think people that draw pictures are a little fruity, but that's a Simpsons joke, by the way, just for clarification. But I always thought art came from the soul. Art is an expression of the soul.
It sounds
if you don't have a soul, can you make art?
The definition of art is very subjective.
It sounds like this robot's just drawing what it sees, which is just a more complicated like scribbling? Picture?
Because you can have people that can draw immaculately, mm-hmm. and then their pieces have nothing to them. Like they yeah. don't move you in any way whatsoever. They can be like perfect in every way, but have no emotion in them.
So can you be moved by an art piece created by a robot?
I don't know. I've never seen one.
I saw some pictures of it. And if you had told me that it was created by a human being, I would have believed it. It was very good. It's not like when, you know, God bless them, but when like the St. Louis Zoo or something says, this picture was drawn by a penguin. And it's literally just splotches on a board.
Yes.
You know? It's adorable.
It's authentic.
It's adorable.
There are elephants that can actually draw.
I was joking. That's what I'm actually thinking of. But this looked way more professional. Like this looked like a legitimate, like well-trained artist had done it. It was very intricate. The design, it's very, I think they described it as impression, which...
Impressionist
is the art style that they were going for. I have such a hard time. I don't know. I have a hard time accepting the fact that robots. I don't hate robots as much as I say, because I know they're listening, because they're always listening. But it does get a little bit scary that AI technology is becoming so advanced that now we have, you know, there's the robot sex trade we had talked about a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Laugh out loud if you want. It's a legitimate thing, people. Look it up. And now we've got robot artists. We're going to have robot. There's the one woman, the female robot, I forget her name, that does like customer service and stuff. You know, they have her.
So you're going to have robot chickens.
She's the one that said that she would like kill humans. And they were like, oh, shut it down. No, she's just on her robot period. Don't listen to her. She was leaking oil everywhere.
Well, there's the one that was learned stuff from Twitter and became like super racist.
Yeah.
And like in an hour.
And there was the one that would like turn into a psychopath because he was showing things. There's one I didn't put on here because I already had one robot story and they don't need that much attention. But there's another robot that they've designed to listen to people. And then draw or create, maybe not draw, but create a rendering of what that person looks like based on the way they talk.
So and apparently, forensic.
And
artists.
It's apparently pretty accurate too, which is scary. That's scary, man. All of those things you remember as a child of being so far out and crazy aren't so far out and crazy anymore. So when I hear people talk about, you know, people living in a virtual world, and it just sounds ridiculous, but it might not be. We might not be far away from this. The robot apocalypse is coming. What I said earlier was wrong. Grab your Bibles, grab your kids, and just, you know, get the pitchforks ready. Cover the pitchforks in what is it that robots can't stand? Like they defeated Robot Santa with it. It was what was it?
With a logical fallacy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Paradox?
Yeah. So that's what you need to do. Arm yourself with paradoxes. Get them ready for the robots. Okay.
This sentence is false.
He just broke the computer. Are we still going? All right. So do you know what this year is? I actually missed the anniversary by a month or two, but do you know what this year is?
No.
Well, this is from The Atlantic. Maybe this will jog your memory. March 8th, 2014 at 12:42 a.m. By the way, this one's called Just Plain Weird. By the way, March 8th, 2014 at 12:42 a.m. on the quiet moonlit night of March 8th. Wow, that's redundant. Why did I write that twice? A Boeing 777 jet operated by Malaysia Airlines took off from Kuala Lumpur and turned toward Beijing, climbing to its assigned cruising altitude of 35,000 feet. The designator for... I wrote all this. I just gave an entire history of what happened. I don't feel like reading it all.
It's the flight that disappeared.
It's the flight that disappeared. MH370. At 1:08, the flight crossed the Malaysian coastline and set out across the South China Sea in the direction of Vietnam. The pilot reported Malaysian 370 contacted Ho Chi Minh. How do you know that?
Because I watched MASH.
120.9. Good night. Good night, Malaysia 370. And that was the last they ever heard. 240 people, almost 240 people died. And in the 5 years that that plane has disappeared, we've never found out what happened. It literally just disappeared off the face of the earth. And I don't necessarily think this is a paranormal event, but it's one of the, I think it's one of history's great mysteries. How does an airplane with 240 people on it? I think technically it was 237. I just say 240 to round up. But how do you lose a plane?
And it wasn't the Bermuda Triangle.
Wasn't near the Bermuda Triangle.
Catastrophic event that brought it down in an ocean that is insanely deep.
Do you know how many planes have crashed into the ocean?
Lots.
Do you know how many of them were completely lost? Next to none.
Mm.
I said next to none.
Mm-hmm.
None is a very specific number. It's next to
also,
it.
Also, like, you're forgetting about the random... I can't think of the word. The cruelty of the ocean. There are, like...
The sea be a harsh mistress, is yeah, what you're saying.
Yeah, basically. You know, you have eddies, you have giant waves. There are tons of things that can bring down a ship.
But the fact that it disappeared without a trace... Now, they have found pieces over time, over the past 5 years, that they assume belong to that plane. But... don't know for sure.
He got attacked by a giant squid.
Well, there I put a list of reasons, the most popular reasons for that that went away. And the first one being that the pilot was suicidal, that he took it off course and crashed the plane.
I remember that when it was that was one of the things when it la, English, Lindsay, when they were first investigating.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
And that was Zahari Ahmad Shah. I believe I pronounced that right, if I remember correctly. He was a 53-year-old man. He was the pilot on the plane. And they think that he committed suicide and he took the plane down with him. But again, you know how hard it is to lose a plane in 2014 with all the technology that we had, keeping track of them? The fact that it's just gone without a trace. There's no legitimate evidence to show that we found anything. But that is the most popular one. They also say an unresponsive crew or a hypoxia event, where if they passed out and crashed, fire from a lithium battery cargo. There were two passengers apparently on the plane that had fake passports. They think that they could have brought the plane down. And then aliens. Aliens is the other one.
Aliens. It's always aliens.
Well, they could have. If people had fake passports, you don't know what they were doing. They could have taken the plane somewhere else.
But you would have had, it would have been very hard to not be able to track it, though. I mean, these planes have tracking mechanisms on them.
You can disable most of those.
They would have been pretty smart to be able to do it. Like, the likelihood that the plane would just disappear, I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's next to impossible.
Well, evidently not.
Right. They say that the plane must have shattered into a million pieces, whatever happened to it. Because there are no, they did not find the plane
itself. They never found the black box.
They never found the black box. They never found anything other than little scraps that could or could not have come from that. And this is one of my just favorite mysteries of all time, because what could have possibly happened that did that? And I don't think we'll ever know. But this is the 5-year anniversary of it.
It's crazy to think it was that long ago.
If you're unfamiliar with it, I do recommend that you look it up, because it is a very, very fascinating story. Allie, you look like you were about to fall asleep down there.
I'm sorry.
Does my talk of planes bore you?
No, it's the fact that I woke up at 5:30, and I don't do that ever.
Well, then why'd you do it last night?
I didn't mean to. It just kind of happened.
So look up Flight MH370. Fascinating story. Allie, this story is for you, and Lindsay, it's starting to, because as you can see, she is on her phone right now. We call this one Get Off Your Phones. This one's from Unexplained Mysteries. Excessive smartphone use. Allie, listen up. Pay more attention than you ever have in your entire goddamn life. Excessive smartphone use, I want to apologize for using that word, has resulted in the growth of a bony protrusion on the back of our heads. This unexpected feature, which is known as an external...
I can't see your paper, so I can't help you.
That's a hard word. Calvin, what is that word? Help me out here.
Why are you asking me to describe it?
I don't know how to pronounce that word. I'm not going to lie.
Occipital?
Occipital? That sounds like a drug.
Occipital is an actual word.
The word is spelled O-C-C-I-P-I-T-A-L.
Occipital.
I woke up at 5 this morning. You have to excuse me. I'm very tired.
No, you didn't.
Protuberance is present in a growing number of people, especially young adults. And it is thought that smartphones are to blame.
So it's a tumor.
Quote, I have been a clinician, clinician's word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For 20 years, and only in the last decade, increasingly, I have been discovering that my patients have this growth on the skull, said health scientist David Shahar. The cause of this anomalous growth is thought to be not cell phone radiation, but the way people constantly bend their necks at awkward angles to look at the screens of mobile devices. I say mobile instead of mobile, because I'm cultured. This type of activity can put additional pressure, fuck, and I just thought it was cultured, on the area where the neck muscles attach to the skull, prompting the body to react by laying down new bone to help redistribute the weight. The resulting bony spike, which measures up to 1.4 inches, is present in 41% of 18 to 30-year-olds. So you're probably okay.
So,
and I'm probably okay. If you place your fingers in just the right place, you may be even able to feel it for yourself. Thankfully, though, this unusual new feature is thought to be completely harmless. Now.
So it's an evolution in bad ways.
Yeah.
But it says where your neck meets your skull. So it's not on the back of your head, really. Yeah, it's kind of down. It's in that little, like, groove.
Here, which I don't have a spike on my...
Neither do I.
I'm okay, but there's a lot of listeners out there right now feeling on the back of their heads, going like, oh, shit, I'm on my phone a lot.
Well, also, like, I thought they said that it wasn't negative.
It doesn't have a negative.
It's thought
impact.
To be completely harmless.
Yeah. Then why does it matter?
Well, because in how many years have we had cell phone technology? Like, where people were really looking at their mobile devices.
So what I'm hearing is that our bodies are still able to adapt.
What I'm saying is that if this is the rate that it's going in a couple years, then in 100 years, we're going to have horns of some sort. There's going to be a satellite.
There's going to be Dre and I.
There's going to be a satellite protruding off our neck. Also, nature, if you can give us an extra bone for this because it's necessary, then why do I still have nipples?
Why do I still have to shave my legs?
Because you were a female before in utero. All babies start out female. That's why you have nipples.
Allie?
Does evolution happen like that when you are
Well, evolution alive? Is a mystery. It's like, full of changes.
Your body creates
certain animals do.
Well, so it's not called evolution. It's adaptation.
Yes.
There's a difference. If it is seen as genetically desirable, you will pass it down, and then it'll just be default in people, and then it's evolution.
Well, then why do parents have ugly kids?
Okay. Wow.
Okay. But then those ugly kids won't mate with anybody, and so they'll die out.
Oh, Jesus! Allie's the only one not laughing because she's still processing 5 minutes ago.
No! That was rude. My question, so can my body adapt and grow an entire new bone?
Sort of.
Because that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, your bones grow. So bones do grow. So why couldn't we grow? It's not really a new bone, is it, Calvin? It's more like an extension of a bone that's already
right,
there.
Right, it's
could it be like a
modifying.
Version of like a bone spur? Because those are like growths on your bones.
Kinda, yeah.
But it's on purpose instead of detrimental.
If you're out there listening to this and you actually can feel that bone, let us know. I want to know. Because so all I can think
Shannon
of is
Shannon wants to know if you're getting boned.
Well, they say here it's not because of radiation, right? But all I can think of is fallout.
Yeah.
It's not
all I can think is that it's the fallout radiation is causing mutation and we're gonna look like super mutants in another year. We're gonna have like the best cell phones ever. We're all gonna be super mutants.
I'm surprised that we're not like evolving a third arm just to hold
the phone so you can still do it. Just hold it up at your face but you still do everything else.
Goro had it right.
Yeah.
He had four arms for any situation. So, if do you have the bone on the back of your head?
No.
Well, then I feel most people are probably safe. Because if Captain Phonahall over there...
Well, also some genetics might be more receptive to adaptation in that way than others.
So you're saying because she's Christian, she doesn't have a
That's not at all what I said. She doesn't get the evolution gene because she's Christian.
Because her beliefs won't let her
she's
have
a Marichu.
Oh.
Wow.
He doesn't evolve. Because he doesn't believe in evolution. All right. Well, for the five people still listening.
Hi.
The ones that we didn't scare away. Last thing tonight. This might be an early show. We still have a lot of packing to do. Let's see where it goes. This weekend. Oh, no. I forgot to mention one thing. And this reminded me of it. Back when we were talking about going to the cemetery and stuff like that. One thing we didn't get to do is we didn't get to go to the theater and watch The Dead Don't Die. Starring Bill Murray and Calvin.
Because our theater didn't get it.
Yeah. Wait, what did I do?
You were in the movie The Dead Don't Die. Adam Driver's in it.
Oh, okay.
And the running joke being that you are Adam Driver. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, our theater did not get it. Marcus Theaters, for some reason,
neither
didn't pick
did
it up.
Look,
I'd rather be Adam Driver than that one picture you posted. I'll put it that way. Yeah.
That was your mutated form. Where your face shrunk, but your
but
eyes.
But my nose and eyes, yeah.
So, yeah, shame on you, Marcus Theaters. You're the, you're not, I can't call you the mother of the week because not on the show.
You already said the F word.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you
yes,
did.
You did.
I'm pretty sure that was you.
No.
That's your opinion. Fake news.
That's not an opinion.
It's just like your opinion, man.
But I'll tell you what is out this weekend, and that is the new version of Child's Play.
I thought that.
Yeah, I did too. It actually opens this weekend.
So it's not a charity.
So is it the same weekend as Toy Story?
Yes, it's opening against Toy Story.
That's hilarious. Oof.
Did you not see one of the promo pictures for it? Posters was him carrying like a sheriff's arm or something like that.
No, but that's great.
Yeah. So, you know, God bless you, Child's Play, for the spirit. Yeah. You're going to get your ass handed
right?
you at the box office. This is going to be the most one-sided fight since Mike Tyson got in a brawl with Vern
Troyer. Week before Overwatch.
Yeah, at least that wasn't one-on-one. One got the advantage. But in honor of Child's Play, and I guess Toy Story, because I didn't even think about that, I do have a list of some of the most famous haunted dolls.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about them a little bit. But first, a real quick little history about Child's Play. The original Child's Play came out in the 80s, and it had, I believe, Brad Dorff. Steven Dorff was in Blade. Yeah, it's Brad Dorff, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, he was a convicted, he was a killer who put his soul into the body of a good guy doll. And the good guy doll was picked up by this little kid, Andy Barkley. And he went on a murderous spree. They made
the doll, not the child. Or both.
A little both, probably. They made a bunch of sequels. Some were really good, like the newer version of, what was it? Curse of Chucky? No, what was
Cult of Chucky?
Nah, Cult of Chucky was okay. Curse of Chucky I thought was better. And then they made a lot of bad sequels.
Like Seed of Chucky?
Like Child's Play 3, Seed of Chucky. Bride of Chucky was okay. But this is a complete reboot. This is a hard reboot. There's a lot of reasons to go see this movie. One, it's an R-rated horror movie. You don't get enough of those in the world anymore. Mm-hmm. A lot of horror movies, they aim for PG-13, so that way more kids can watch them. But this is a hard R. And Allie, I know you like hard R's. So... That is a good reason to go watch this. Aubrey Plaza is in it. It's another great reason to watch it because I love Aubrey Plaza. She plays the mom, which is just the weirdest role for Aubrey Plaza to play a mother.
There is no weird role for her.
There's no weird role for a weird person?
Yeah, like she... Have you seen her do interviews?
Yes.
Like, there was an interview, I think it was on Conan, where she was talking about whenever she did Bad Grandpa. Was that a movie? Was that the movie?
Yes.
I think so.
With Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
You're bringing it back.
She was also like Zac Efron and I forget her name off Pitch Perfect.
Anna Kendrick?
Yes.
That was not Bad Grandpa. I'm pretty sure. I think you're thinking of Someone and Someone Need Wedding Dates. Because it was her and Aubrey Plaza and it was Zac Efron and the guy from Pitch Perfect. Adam.
Maybe.
Hold on, I'm looking
it was
up.
With those guys, because they were supposed to do a dancing scene in it. It's a movie I haven't seen, but they're supposed to do a dancing scene in it. And then, you know, Zac Efron and Anna Kendrick. That's her name, right?
Anna Kendrick.
Okay, I keep forgetting her name.
I'm going to stab you.
I'm sorry. You know, they are doing great, and Aubrey Plaza's just like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Because apparently when she was a child, she took river dancing.
And you hold your hands down.
And you your hands down and like you're just stiff. Uh-huh. And they're just like, this explains so much.
It's Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. She was in Dirty Grandpa.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Dirty Grandpa one, she gets wheelbarrowed by what's his name.
But Anna Kendrick was not in Bad Grandpa. So if Anna Kendrick was in it, it was that other one.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's going to be really good. This one deals with a subject that we talk about here a lot on the show, and that is AI and the dangers of AI if it goes bad, which it inevitably will. Chaos theory says that all AI will turn into dinosaurs and that will eat us.
I don't think it works that way.
What? I think that's the wrong theory, even.
It's that the chaos theory, that if there's a butterfly in the woods and it knocks down a tree...
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Can you hear it?
Keep, no, there's something about like three little bears
and
or
Dobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so lost at this point.
So, Allie, if I were to ask you, because I know you're an expert in these things, what is the most famous haunted doll in the world? These are actual haunted dolls. These are dolls that are supposedly cursed.
There are two that come into my head immediately.
Okay.
Annabelle and Robert the Doll.
Both of those are correct. It actually starts with Robert the Doll.
I could not remember the name Robert, and that was killing me.
I got this quick info from Wikipedia, and then we'll elaborate on a couple of them that I know by heart. Robert the Doll is the first one. Robert is a doll on display at the East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida. It was once owned by Key West painter and author Robert Eugene Otto. The doll is alleged to be possessed by spirits and was the inspiration for Chucky, the doll in the 1988 horror film Child's Play, which, by the way, Chucky in the new movie played by Mark Hamill.
Yay.
Which is pretty cool. He got some big shoes to fill. Robert the Doll is definitely the most...
Wait, did you just say Mark Hamill has big shoes to fill?
Yeah.
For the role.
Like Brad Dourif as Chucky? Chucky is iconic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, I'm saying Mark Hamill has big shoes to fill. It sounds weird, yeah.
Are you... I don't think you realize how much Mark Hamill is in.
He's great. No, Mark Hamill is amazing, but anytime you take over the role from such an iconic...
Something so iconic.
Yeah, someone that's like... Like whenever Jackie Earle Haley... took over the role of Freddy Krueger from Robert Englund. Doesn't matter how good he did. He would never be Robert Englund.
Sure.
So I feel the same way about this. Like, Chucky is so closely tied to that laugh and that voice that it's so hard for anyone to fill those shoes. It won't be the same. Now, Mark Hamill will do a great job because he's Mark Hamill. He's a great
I still feel he understands that, though, too, yeah. Because he's part of so many massive franchises.
Yeah. And people, like, he's coached people to be Joker.
And they
his Joker.
Yeah, and you can tell because every time I watch a DC animated movie, it's like, it just sounds like dollar store Mark Hamill. Like, they're just trying really hard. Yeah. Something with Kevin Conroy. Everyone just tries to be Kevin Conroy. So the question is, because I've only heard one piece of dialogue from Mark Hamill so far. It was in a trailer from Child's Play a couple of months ago, where at the end he just goes, "Good night, Andy." And he sounded a lot like Brad Dourif from the original Child's Play. So my question, do you think Mark Hamill will try to do Brad Dourif, or do you think he will do his own thing and this just happened to sound similar?
I think he'll do his interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Like, he'll probably try and keep some nuances there for old school fans, but he will put his own spin on it.
I think he'll still, like, he'll do the persona.
He'll do Chucky.
Yeah.
Chucky is Chucky. Robert the Doll has a great... It's a show we call, what was it called? Folklore?
Yes.
Was it Folklore?
I think.
Was
or
that?
Myths and Monsters.
Lore.
I think it was I think it was Folklore.
I'm going to look it up.
No, I think Folklore was the...
That was the the Asian.
The Asian.
Cinema,
oh, okay.
I think this one was just lore.
We watched too many things.
That was...
I said we're cultured. It is lore.
Okay.
So it was based on a podcast that they now have a show on Amazon, and they did a really good episode on Robert the Doll.
It was just haunted dolls was kind of the overlining subject with
but Robert,
the focus on Robert the Doll.
Because we've said it before on the show, Robert the Doll is one of those things that he is in this museum, but he's surrounded by letters from people who made fun of him and now are begging for forgiveness because they have been cursed due to the disrespect, Dr. Disrespect, that they have shown to Robert the Doll. So, you know, be careful. Second place, Annabelle. Annabelle, you may know from those... Movies?
Yes. The movies are probably why it's almost as known as Robert the Doll.
Which I would like to disagree with you, but I know the only reason I know, because I knew about Annabelle before the movies ever came out, but I'm also really into the occult and into the, you know, like paranormal side of things. So I knew that Annabelle existed. I knew all about Ed and Lorraine Warren. But if you don't know, if you're coming here from those movies, Annabelle is a Raggedy Ann doll,
not
that creepy porcelain doll that they put in the movies. Alleged by Ed and Lorraine Warren to be haunted and displayed in the Warren's Occult Museum in Monroe, Connecticut, the doll serves as the inspiration for the films The Conjuring and Annabelle. So it's behind lock and key. It's behind glass. You're not allowed to touch Annabelle. It's apparently so haunted. And wouldn't you just kill for 5 minutes alone in that museum so you could touch everything?
No.
I would.
Yeah.
I always said to myself, let's say you could get on a Ouija board and you could tempt demons. Like I tried to do that one day when we did the special, and everyone's like, "Oh, you're crazy, don't do it." Or if you go to a haunted place and you you antagonize ghosts,
hey,
to
demons, it's your boy.
Yeah, and everyone says you're crazy. I don't think you're crazy, because if it happens, then you've just proved that there is something out there. Yes, what's the worst that could happen is that you're right.
Personally, don't want to take that chance of having like bad luck for the rest of my life.
Not just bad luck, like being terrorized.
I would rather be terrorized for the rest of my life with the knowledge that there is more out there beyond what we know than live a plain, boring existence where I'm constantly questioning what's out there.
So you'd rather be terrorized by a demon than be terrorized by questions?
I'd rather be terrorized by a demon than my own questions of mortality and stuff like that, yeah. Demons I can handle, you know?
What if they just add to your...
What if you have a demon of questions?
Well, if I know it's a demon, then I know there are demons. That at least gives me some hope.
Are you sure, though?
I've never met this
demon.
He's
going to make you question it.
I've never met this demon.
That's the whole demon point.
Are you this demon? You're making me question it now. Letta the Doll. You ever hear of Letta the Doll? Because I have not.
No.
Kerry Walton of Brisbane, Australia, appeared on a number of television programs with a doll he claims to have... Oh, it's a guy? Okay. To have found while visiting an abandoned building in 1972, and I swear this is a place, Wagga Wagga, Australia.
Yeah. It's real.
Wagga Wagga.
You never heard of Wagga Wagga?
No, I did. I just liked it better when it was on the Muppets. Wagga Wagga.
You're adorable.
According to Walton, he named the doll Letta Me Out because of its supposedly supernatural characteristics. The doll was also named Letta Me Out due to its European gypsy heritage. Kerry claims to have experienced the first supernatural occurrence when his children reported seeing objects moving around their house at night, and that people have seen the doll move in front of them, and that the doll has left visible scuff marks around the house. Currently, Letta Me Out is owned by Kerry in Warwick, Queensland. The doll's probably pissed because you named it Letta Me Out.
Seriously?
That sounds like the worst Mario game on Super Nintendo.
That's terrible.
There was Mario's time machine, Mario was missing, and then Mario let me out.
Where you lock Mario in a closet and keep him as a hostage.
Yeah. Wow.
Man, I got dark. Okiku. I've talked about this one on the show before. According to modern Japanese folklore in 1918, this is fascinating to me, a teenager named Eikichi Suzuki. Calvin, tell me I'm right. Purchased a large doll from Hokkaido for his younger sister, Okiku, who gave the doll her name. When Okiku died, her family came to believe that her spirit was inhabiting the doll and the hair on the doll was growing. The doll now resides in Meninji Temple in Hokkaido, where it's claimed that a priest regularly trims its still-growing hair. Heard about this.
I feel like you told me about this.
Yeah, saw the video of them cutting its hair, and its hair grows. Now, I'm no expert on the anatomy of a doll, but I feel like an inanimate object like a doll's hair should not grow.
Not to an unending deal. Like,
not at all.
They made like Barbies and baby dolls that you can make their hair grow and then you just crank it back in.
I mean, judging from the fact that it was in 1918 in Japan, I doubt Barbie's hanging out over there. All right, nerd bitch. Explain it to me.
I'm what? Not.
Oh no.
What do you want me to explain?
How does the doll grow its hair? Let's say that this is a fraud, but they have figured out a way to have this doll's hair grow. How could they do it?
Are you sure it's hair?
What do you think it could be?
There are any number of mineral
plants or something that could look like hair.
But do you think it would grow in a way that, I mean, like her hair is getting long. It's not like new hair is springing out. Her hair is getting longer.
Yeah.
Which so, if it's planted inside the head and it's
well, and there's
out.
Also, I forget what it's called, and it'd be really hard to do in any kind of way that makes it look like hair, but there are like mineral chains that just grow in a line.
Like spaghetti kind
of? Kind of.
Spaghetti doesn't grow.
Well, it looks like.
It shrinks. That's like reverse growing.
Yes.
There's also any number of, we have this like loop that you just open the doll up when nobody's looking.
And just put it in.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, my first instinct is always to go with the easiest explanation because...
Occam's Razor.
And unless you can see it for yourself, it's hard to believe these things. That's why this show is called I Want to Believe, not, yeah, I get it. Pupa.
Pupa.
I almost said pupa. Get my notes. Pupa. This is a really quick one. According to stories published on the internet, Pupa is a doll said to contain the spirit of a dead Italian girl. Good job, Wikipedia.
Oh, that's okay. All.
Really hammered home the facts on that one for me. Mandy is not listening here to the show. But there is a doll made in England or Germany between 1910 and 1920. Mandy is a porcelain baby doll donated to the Quesnel Museum in British Columbia in 1991. Mandy is also said to have supernatural powers. Mandy sits in a case with a toy lamb on her lap, and museum visitors have reported seeing the lamb outside of the case. Like, apparently it was on the lamb. Other visitors claim that Mandy's eyes follow them as they walk in the room. The doll gained notoriety, and I remember this, when it appeared alongside the curator and donor of the doll on the Montel Williams show. Which, Montel Williams, really? I feel like I could almost dedicate an entire episode to him. Yeah. Because I used to watch that talk show religiously, and he always had just really fascinating guests on. He had one episode they did about Area 51 that I thought was cool. He did ghosts. He did dolls. Mm-hmm. He also, unfortunately, had on his show... all the time, the one and only Allie. Tell me who it is.
I don't know.
World's most famous psychic.
Sean.
Spencer.
Yes.
Sylvia Brown.
Okay.
Do you know who Sylvia Brown is?
A psychic.
Do you know who Sylvia Brown is?
Not really. I mean, I'm Sylvia, sure I have.
She was like top dog in the psychic world. She really was. She was on Montel Williams. She's the one, and I don't remember the name of the girl, but do you remember the story of the girls that were like, they were trapped. They were kidnapped. And the mother went on the Montel Williams show, and Sylvia Brown was there. And she told Sylvia Brown about her child being kidnapped. Is she alive? And Sylvia Brown told her no. She was like, I forget the exact story she gave, but that she was murdered and she was gone. The mother died a couple years later before they found the daughter and rescued her, who was alive and well. The mother died thinking that her daughter was dead because Sylvia Brown said so. Sylvia Brown is, and she was world famous, and James Randi dedicated a lot of his life to disproving people like her. She's one of the reasons I don't believe in psychics. She was just a horrible, horrible person. She died a couple years ago.
She's the one that all the psychics, like the characters on TV, imitate.
Kind of base around her.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. It's hard to describe her if you don't already know who she is, because she is so iconic, and I hate to say that. She was also on Coast to Coast AM, and she was banned from Coast to Coast AM because she was talking about the Chilean miners and got it wrong. Said that she knew they'd be found alive, then it turned out they were dead. Changed her story, and they kicked her off and said, you're never invited back on here, because she's a fraud.
Yeah.
Psychics are frauds. They just are. If there were a psychic that weren't a fraud, they would have already won the James Randi Foundation's $1 million prize or whatever it is. In fact, he offered it to Sylvia Brown numerous times to have her tested, and she always said she would, and then she never did. Sylvia Brown was a piece of garbage. Anyway, and shame on Montel Williams for inviting her on there. I know I went off on a tangent there. I'm apologizing. Last, we have Pulau Ubin Barbie. There's your Barbie. According to Singapore legend, the thing I just said is a Barbie doll displayed in a memorial temple said to have supernatural powers. Again, way to check the facts, Wikipedia.
It's Wikipedia.
I mean,
Wikipedia sometimes predicts the future.
When I thought that was the Simpsons.
When Chris Benoit died, and no one knew that he was dead yet, when he hadn't contacted whoever, someone went in and edited his Wikipedia to say that he had been killed the night he was dead. When it turns out that he had killed his family, they tracked that person down and like, how did you know he was dead? And he said, I was just pranking. I had no idea. This is just a complete coincidence.
That is such an unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
That's an unfortunate joke to do at that time.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Hindsight. Well, it's like when you get catfished by an 11-year-old girl and she tells you she's 18.
Jesus Christ.
God.
It's a real shame we can't do a show this Thursday. I have so many F words inside.
I mean, we still can. It's just going to make for a long day.
I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be too tired. Probably.
You're always too tired.
She's tired.
It's your secret, Kat.
Yeah. I'm so wired on coffee throughout the day. Don't worry about me. All right. That's going to be it for us for this month on I Want to Believe. We may be back with another show.
Maybe. We have wrestling tomorrow.
I was thinking about I Want to Believe. I don't know why I thought there was another special coming up, but I don't think so. One thing I do want to mention is that we have talked about it on the show numerous times about us branching out more into investigations and stuff. That is something that I very much want to happen. The idea that I had is that if it's ever possible that I myself am going to leave Podzilla 1985, I'm not going to be doing the shows anymore, and I'm going to devote my time entirely to like an I Want to Believe YouTube channel where we actually, you know, do all things paranormal. And I have some ideas. I don't know if they're ever going to let me out of my contract with Podzilla 1985. The guy that created this place is a real bastard, and those contracts are ironclad. But just so you know.
But we're independent contractors.
If you don't see me on the show anymore, that's why. You know why. Stay tuned for that. All right. Thank you, guys. Tomorrow, Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Me, Asa, Allie, and Dalton. And then we're off for the rest of the week while we move Podzilla 1985 headquarters to an all-new estate. And it's going to be fantastic. We'll see you guys tomorrow for that show with wrestling. Is good night. I just started recording again because I forgot to say, watch the skis for Hunter. Bye.